Come one, come all. It's the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. My name is Joe Fortenball. This is episode 177 of the podcast, Tourney Picks and Predictions. Great to have you with us for an absolutely stacked episode of the Sharp 600. One of my favorite dudes in this entire business, Brad Evans, Yahoo Sports, fantasy genius, bracketologist, gambler. He's Ben Zobrist. He's a utility guy, but he's hitting 350, 35 home runs a season. He's going to join us in just a bit. He's in Colorado where he lives. He is going to help break down the brackets for you so you can properly assess where to pick your upsets, where to pick your favorites, how to construct your final four. But seeing as how it's a special time of year, seeing as how it's been a while, let's do some picks. All right, I've got three selections for you for the opening round. Game number one, take the point, 7.5 with the Yale Bulldogs over the LSU Tigers. This is most definitely a fade of an LSU program that has been on very uncertain footing ever since now suspended head coach Will Wade found himself ensnared by the FBI in a wiretap scandal. That, no doubt, is going to play a distracting role in transitioning the Tigers from a very impressive 26-5 regular season into what is what turned into a one-and-done disastrous performance in the SEC tournament. Now, Yale enters postseason play on a three-game winning streak. It saw the Bulldogs demolish Princeton twice by a combined 28 points, as well as take out Harvard in the Ivy League final by a comfortable 12 points. Not a pick I absolutely love, but seeing as how LSU has really, really found themselves on tough times late in the season after such an awesome run through the first few months of the season, I'm going to take a flyer here. Give me Yale plus the points. Game number two, it's Oregon plus 1.5 over Wisconsin. I'm not really the least bit interested in betting against what I'm considering this to be right now. It's an Oregon freight train. That's what I consider the Ducks to be. They've won and covered the number in each of their last eight games. That includes a plus 69 scoring differential, shout out Rob Gronkowski, through four Pac-12 tournament wins. Additionally, let's not forget the fact this game's going to be played in San Jose, California. That's a short flight in the same time zone for the Ducks as opposed to a five-hour flight across two time zones for the Badgers. Give me the Ducks plus 1.5. And then game number three, the UC Irvine Anteaters plus 5.5 over the Kansas State Wildcats. The Anteaters are on a crazy streak right now, crazy run. They've won 16 straight entering Friday's matchup with Kansas State. That includes just one missed point spread over the program's last 11 games. As for Kansas State, you got to figure the Wildcats are bummed given their current situation. Now, they are a 4 seed in San Jose. They could have been a 3 seed in nearby Tulsa. That's a big difference in potential outcomes for the Wildcats. Now, speaking of the 4 seed, the last time Wildcats head coach Bruce Weber found himself in this situation, his Kansas State squad was bounced in the opening round of the 2012 tournament by 13 seed LaSalle, 63-61. Give me UC Irvine plus 5.5. So, to recap, your three picks for the opening round of the tournament: Yale plus 7.5 over LSU, that game's Thursday. Oregon plus 1.5 over Wisconsin, that game's Friday. UC Irvine plus 5.5 over Kansas State, that game on Friday as well.
Going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas! Oh, it's true. It's damn true. The big dance is around the corner, and Prop Swap wants this to be your most profitable tournament yet. Joe Fortenball here for Prop Swap. Obviously, my name's on the podcast, and you are listening to the podcast. Who else would be doing this live read? PropSwap is a marketplace where you can buy and sell active sports bets. Think of it like a stock market, but for betting tickets. Buy low on a team with long odds, and then sell high for a big profit. Last year, for example, my man Barry from Las Vegas,
Larry,
bet $10 on Loyola and then sold it for $1,000 four games later. Start treating your sports bets like investments and go to PropSwap.com/covers. That's PropSwap.com/covers.
How about that ride in? I guess that's why they call it Sin City.
To Denver, Colorado, we go. Nine-time award-winning writer at Yahoo Sports, NCAA men's basketball bracketologist, one of the absolute best in the business, Brad Evans joining us here on this Sharp 600. Brad, I can't thank you enough for your time. I'm going to jump right into the material because I know how busy you are this time of year. When you saw the release of the 2019 bracket, did you think there were any big gaffes made on behalf of the committee?
No, I mean, I got 67 out of 68 correct. So the only team that I missed, and the majority of the bracketology community whiffed on, was TCU. I had TCU projected as 11 seed. They had enough quality wins. They had played a strong enough overall strength of schedule that I thought that team would sneak in. As a result, they're on the outside looking in. But I am gracious. I am ecstatic that the selection committee put Belmont in. You know, we've been clamoring as analysts and bracket guys for years for the mid-majors to be propped up. And the expectation was with this new net system, it would do exactly that. Now, Belmont was a top 50 team. The resume wasn't the greatest, a lopsided record overall, two quad one wins, but a couple of quad three and quad four losses combined. But they went out and scheduled a top 80 overall strength of schedule. And, you know, played a nail biter with Murray State in the OVC Conference Tournament Final, and John Moran Company scored the victory, and Dylan Windler fell short. But I think this is fantastic. It is a gift that the United States of America, those people who have not watched college basketball until now, will be able to see Dylan Windler and all of his special wares. So thank you, selection committee, for getting that right. But screw you for not putting TCU in.
Do you like Belmont laying the three tonight against Temple, knowing that this could be Fran Dunphy's last game as the head coach of the Owls?
Well, look, the other thing about Temple is this. They got a guy named Shiz Alston. That's his name, Shiz, S-H-I-Z-Z. And what a great pickup line. He could go into a bar and be like, hey, I'm the Shiz. And like, get out of here. No, literally, I'm the Shiz. He's a tremendous player, very introspective guy, very smart player. Going to be a handful for Belmont. I'm honestly staying away from the spread. I think the line is good. It has been hammered down three, with Belmont laying those points. But I actually like the under a little bit more in this one. Last I saw it was a rather hefty 155. You know, these teams have had very little time to prepare for. I think typically what you see in these first games, these first four matchups, teams come out tight. Knowing what's at stake, knowing the quick turnaround, and I think that's probably the safest play on the board, and that's the direction I'm going. But, you know, Joel will have some action on the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the best time of year for it. All right, to the actual bracket itself, one of the prevailing thoughts coming off Sunday is that Virginia has the easiest path to the Final Four of all the number one seeds. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do not agree with that assessment. I would say North Carolina does. I think Carolina matches up really well with Kentucky if they did match up in the Elite Eight. There's a potential pitfall there for Kentucky in the round of 32 if they were to face Seton Hall, assuming the Pirates get past the mighty Wofford Terriers. Hall beat them earlier this season, and that's a Seton Hall team with Miles Powell, who I call Microwave Miles, a guy that goes out there, drops 30 without breaking a sweat. He's got distance from Delaware, it seems like. And a player that I think has got a lot at the scoreboard, plus Seton Hall, very cohesive on the defensive end, ranking inside the top 40 nationally in adjusted defensive efficiency. So it's not going to be a walk in the park for Kentucky to get there. I think it's a much easier path for Carolina to get to the Elite Eight. And I think they got a really good shot of, you know, not blowing out Kentucky, but when Carolina's playing its best ball in transition and Kobe White's making some smart decisions off the bounce, they just have too many weapons. They have too much size that I think can neutralize Kentucky. In the end, you know, I look at Tennessee for Virginia, and that's a potential bugaboo. And even the road to get to Tennessee, assuming both teams making the Elite Eight, is filled with potholes. That is the most fascinating subsection of the brackets out of this entire field this year is in the South and the top half, because I think every over-under across the board in all of those games is going to be around 118 to 122. It's crazy because all these teams are defensive half-court-oriented squads. One of the most fascinating, scrubbings that the committee put together is, again, that northern section of the South region.
I talked to a Vegas bookmaker yesterday who said Zion Williamson is worth a ridiculous 6 points to the point spread. And obviously his health has Duke as like a 2-1, 2.5-1 favorite to win this entire thing. Duke's nasty. Zion's nasty. Don't get me wrong. But 2.5 to 1, are they being overvalued a bit in your mind?
Yeah, they really are. Yeah, I've seen it as low as +180 in some locations. I think Sugar House had it at that last that I checked. FanDuel Sportsbook in Jersey was at +250. I'm not on board with it. I'm fading Duke. You know, if you're playing in Tourney Pick'em, for example, at Yahoo Sports, yahoo.com/best bracket to sign up, we're giving away $1 million for the best overall bracket. Not perfect bracket, best overall bracket. It's ridiculous. I'm looking at the picture.
So someone, wait a minute. Someone's getting $1 million?
Yeah.
Damn.
Exactly. I can't do it as a Verizon Yahoo employee, but the best overall bracket gets $1 million and it's free to enter. It's a no brainer.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Goat. Maybe you can't enter, but you can continue giving us such sound nuggets of advice.
I will attempt to do so. You might want to say the noise here, especially if you're on board with Duke. But 49.9% of the early tourney pick'em entries have gone Duke in the chalk.
Jeez.
To win the national title. 49.9%. Now, to put that in perspective, Villanova, which was still chalk last year, was around 28-29% when the entry deadline closed on Thursday. So this is how big the bandwagon is, how swelled it is. And if you're going to win a competition where there's going to be millions of entries, you got to go against the grain. So for me, and honestly, I filled out a gut bracket on our Selection Sunday show, Tourney Bracket Live on Sunday. I have Duke losing in the round of 16 against a familiar foe in Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech's one of those teams that matches up extraordinarily well with the Blue Devils. And I know they beat them without Zion Williamson, but Virginia Tech didn't have Justin Robinson, their starting point guard, who is back in uniform. And they're one of the most prolific three-point shooting teams in terms of volume, in terms of accuracy, and all of college basketball. And Kerry Blackshear is a beast. I think he would match up toe-to-toe with Zion and trade baskets. They're very good defensively. They're number 11 in the KenPom rankings, so the advanced analytics and metrics love them as well. I think Virginia Tech is that one sleeper team that could knock off Duke and bloody brackets across the country if you follow the chalk, and I'm certainly not going to do that. I'm going to zig and go with the Zags instead.
All right, I'm glad you brought that up because there's strategy here when it comes to brackets. If you're in just a family bracket, maybe 5, 10, 12, you can afford to be a little bit chalkier. You can take more favorites. But the bigger the bracket, the riskier you should get. So if I was in a massive bracket, is there a non-one seed that I should be considering to win the title?
Yeah, I mean, I brought up Virginia Tech. I think they're very much in the conversation for that. 0.2% of tourney pick'em entries have the Hokies winning the national title. That's one a good go-against-the-grain selection based on that. I think Texas Tech is another one. It's 0.5%. A little bit more of a popular pick, but still infinitesimal on the overall scale. But Tech, you know, I think that West Regional, I love the Zags. I have the Zags winning it all, full disclosure. But if there was one team that could really disrupt things within that region, and I think that is the toughest region top to bottom, with Michigan there as the 2 seed, they could get knocked off in the round of 32 against an experienced and athletic Nevada team that made the Sweet 16 last year. The Buffalo's awfully good. But Texas Tech is a phenomenal defensive team. Defense always travels. They're top 3 in the country just to defensive efficiency. And here's what's most important. This was a very striking development in late February. Over Tech's last 6 games, before it lost inexplicably to West Virginia in the Big 12 Conference Tournament, that team averaged 1.28 points per possession on offense.
Whoa.
So when you match that defense, which again, it hasn't, you know, relinquished a whole lot at any point this year, with an offense that's starting to fire on all cylinders, Moretti shooting 47% from distance. Jared Culver is a legit NBA prospect. Mooney, the South Dakota transfer, can beat you off the dribble, also knock down outside shots. Three Cohen's just out of foul trouble. But if everything, you know, comes together, it could be a beautiful masterpiece, a selection of games, like a wonderful charcuterie. That's how I look at Texas Tech. You know, you got a little bit of salami, you got a little bit of capicola. You got some
olives. You got your soft cheeses, your hard cheeses.
Exactly. I mean, they're 30-1 to win the whole enchilada right now, and I think that is a sound wager. I haven't looked to see what the odds are of them reaching the Final Four, but they're like 10-1, 12-1 out of the West Regional. That's worth easy a U.S. grant.
North Carolina, Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, who's the shakiest of the one seeds?
Well, honestly, I'm going to go back to Duke because Duke has flaws. As good, as dynamic, as spectacular as Zion Williamson is, and everybody is aroused every time he touches the basketball. I get it. I love the dunks. I love the high motor. I love his leaping ability. I love his defense. He's a guy that, you know, if I'm in a fantasy basketball league, I'm going to, you know, extend the go-go gadget arm to make sure that I have him, especially in the keeper league locked up for the next century. All right, I get all that. This team can't shoot. That's the problem from outside. They still shoot 30, just over 30% as a team from distance. And there was only one game that I watched the entire, and I probably watched Duke at least 20, 25 times, where they were lights out. And that was against Virginia, and, it, you know, unbelievably, against one of the best defensive teams in the country. They just couldn't miss from outside in that game, and they won going away, though it was tight. That was in Cameron Indoor. You know, I don't think Lightning's going to strike twice at them. The other thing, too, is that Zion Williamson, he has drawn some whistles at times. Let's say he gets in foul trouble. Or you play hack a Zion because he's not the greatest free throw shooter. You know, these things crop up, and in a tight scenario, in a single elimination format, could lead to your undoing. I think Duke just—they don't have the characteristics of a national title team that we've seen recently. The guard play, Trey Jones is a very good defensive player, but he's a guy that can't shoot outside, shoot off the bounce. It's not outstanding. It's the Zion show. RJ Barrett's good. Cam Reddish's game has fallen off the continental shelf, but some idiot NBA executives will still spend a lottery pick on him, thinking he's going to be the bee's knees in the next level, and it's going to be a colossal failure. I just don't think they have enough ingredients to get me all hot and bothered and place them on the last line of my bracket. I think Duke is probably the most vulnerable to get knocked out early.
You mentioned Virginia Tech earlier. If I'm going through my bracket, are there any lower seeds that you've been consistently picking to upset higher seeds, whether it be the opening round or a couple rounds in?
Yeah, and look, the trend here over the last about 6-7 tournaments, it's right around 20% of seeds that are 7 or lower have advanced on at least a round or two. So typically you get about 5 to 6, maybe 7 upsets any given year in the NCAA tournament. So don't go buck wild with a lot of these upsets. You know, pick a handful and stick with it. But I will say this, this is the strongest group of 12 seeds that I have ever seen. I think any of them could easily upend the 5 seed in their respective contest. And, you know, it was a fluke last year because we didn't see a single 12 seed upset a 5 last season. But that was an anomaly. I think it's going to get back to the usual trend, which is right around 35% of 12 seeds since the expansion era in 1985 have won an opening round game in the NCAA tournament. So, out of the group of 12s, my favorites, let's start with New Mexico State. New Mexico State, one of the more interesting teams in the country because they have a legitimate 12-man rotation. Chris Jans's club, it's like a hockey line change is how we execute this. It is bizarre. But they got a kid named Eli Chua who is at the forefront of you know the group that he throws out there. They're the best rebounding team in this tournament on both ends, offensive and defensive. They jack a ton of threes. So even if they're off on threes, they're generating those second chances, and they're throwing fresh bodies at you. And Auburn isn't the deepest team. They're going to be a trendy pick because they won the SEC Conference Tournament. And I think New Mexico State, throwing all of those, you know, biggies in the middle there, is going to wear them down. They're going to be able to neutralize them along the perimeter because Auburn's one of those live-and-die-by-the-three squads. They also generate a ton of second chances. And again, I think that's going to be kicked to the curb because of New Mexico State's size and rotation. You know, you pull it together – that's easy money. That's a money line selection right there. They're getting 6 last I checked. I also like Oregon. I think they match up well with Wisconsin based on style of play. The over-under is at 118. I'm taking the over slightly. I think it's going to be in the 120s. But the Ducks playing their best basketball this season at the most opportune time. Peyton Pritchard, dynamic point guard. Ethan Happ is a liability late in games with Wisconsin because he cannot hit the broadside of a barn at the free throw line. I think Oregon's got a really good chance of pulling the upset there. And I like Liberty, too. Give me Liberty or give me no other number 12 seed. You know, you look at the Flames, they got a kid in Scotty James, one of the most efficient big men in the country, 6'8". He's a flopper extraordinaire. We saw that future of the WWE for him based on what he performed in the A-Sun Conference Tournament Final against Lipscomb. But they've got couple of dynamic guards. They shoot the ball well from outside. They have that balance. And not only that, they only give up 0.99 points per possession on the defensive end. So pull that together. It's a Mississippi State team that doesn't have a ton of size, at 3 needy in its own right. I think that is going to be kind of a rock 'em, sock 'em, robots back and forth kind of contest. And don't be surprised that Liberty winds up winning in the end.
All right, I want to give you 3 bets I like in the opening round. You already mentioned one of them, so I think I know where you're at. But I'm going to read off 3 in a row. Give me your thoughts. Yale plus 7.5 against LSU. Oregon plus 1.5 over Wisconsin. UC Irvine plus 5.5 over K-State.
Yeah, with Dean Wade's status very much up in the air and probably trending more toward doubtful, I think that's a good call on UC Irvine. You know, I could see K-State win that game by a bucket. Whatever the under is, just take it, because that game's going to be in the low 50s based on how those two squads play. Definitely like the Ducks. I would take them, catching 1.5. I would actually go the other way. I think LSU's got too much size for Yale. I really do. Onye's great, but I think with Naz Reid and Vicky Williams and Emmett Williams and those nut huggers that he likes to wear, along with the strong guard players, Tyler Bates, Vermont Waters, Javonte Smart, there's just too many weapons there. I understand the Will Wade factor, but this is still a very dangerous LSU team. I think if you want to go with a double-digit seed that's catching a ton of points that I like a lot, and it's odd and it concerns me a little bit because the line's been hammered up some. Purdue is now laying 13 against Old Dominion at open at 11.5. It's too many points. I think the Monarchs cover that game. I think it's going to be right around 8 to 10 when it's all said and done. Old Dominion loves to shoot the 3. They're an outstanding rebounding team. I mean, sensational rebounding team, and a very good defensive team. That game is going to be a grinded out, half-court affair. And let's be honest, Joe, what has Carson Edwards done for any of us lately? Nothing. He's shooting like 22% from 3 in his last 5 games, and he's Purdue's best player. Curtis Harms is, and you know, some of these other peripheral guys that got Ryan Klein's amazing. Edwards, I can't count on him even shooting 40% from the field, and knowing the strength of Old Dominion in terms of rebounding and defense, the game's going to be closer than people think.
Final question for you. What's a somewhat creative Final Four I could use if I worked in an office with maybe 30 to 50 brackets?
Well, look, again, you want variety. It is the spice of life, right? So for me, I never go straight chalk. There's certain networks out there, that's all they do. Hey, baby, I got the 1s and 2s seeds everywhere. No, you got to mix it up. All right, you got to mix it up. So, I mean, look at last year. We had a couple of 1s. We had a 3 and 11. Now, I'm not saying a double-digit seed's going to make it. I'll give you my Final Four because I'm adhering to exactly what you're thinking, because, again, I'm going against the grain with the anti-Duke sentiment. I got Virginia Tech, a 4 seed out of the East. My 1 seed out of the West is Gonzaga. I'm taking Tennessee out of the South as a 2 seed. And then North Carolina out of the Midwest. Again, I love the draw for the Tar Heels. I got the Zags. I've got Carolina in the championship game, a rematch of 2017. And flip the damn script, son. Gonzaga's going to win its first national title in school history. Exact the revenge on Roy Williams and company. They're cutting down the nets. And again, they're right now about 8%, 8.5% in tourney pick'em universe in terms of winning the whole enchilada. I think that's a creative Final Four, knowing that, again, you got a 4, a 2, and a couple of 1s. It's usually how these things pan out.
Beautiful stuff. Follow him on Twitter. It's one of the most informative feeds out there at Yahoo Noise. 9-time award-winning writer at Yahoo Sports. NCAA men's basketball bracketologist, the great Brad Evans, with us here on the Sharp 600. Brad, I know you're busy. Thank you so much for the time and the insight. Good luck and enjoy the madness.
Merry March Madness to you and yours. Go out there and make that Mike Trout money.
It says here we should work in teams. Who wants to be my spotter?
Now that is how you podcast. That is how you podcast right there. What an episode. But I'd be remiss if I said goodbye before I mentioned my good friends at DraftKings, because after all, the Sharp 600 is brought to you by our friends at DraftKings. Covers is very excited to partner with DraftKings, who's offering a free bet up to $500 when you make your first wager. All you have to do is go to DraftKings.com/500-free-bet. That's DraftKings.com/500-free-bet to take advantage of this offer. That link is included in the bio of this podcast. to make your life easier. Act quickly. This promotion won't be around for long. Eligibility and restrictions apply. See website for details. Boys and girls, the madness has arrived. Have fun. More than anything else, have fun with it because this is one of the best times of year. And while you're at it, be well and best of luck.